of all the religions throughout the world, individuals come to a religion and they walk away from a religion. All the religions that we know of have printed material focusing on their religion. In Christianity, you and I accept the holiness of the Word of God, His book, the Bible. But there's something different about our book compared to all the other religious books. The Bible that God has given to us is not a book of ideology, of ideas, of human strength. God's book that you and I study is the breath of God and the voice of God. It is the Word of God. God's book is a relationship book. Our religion, as they talk about Christianity, which, as you know, I do not like that term, but in the secular world, they call it the Christian religion. You and I know that it's a Christian relationship. Now, how do we know that? Because it doesn't matter what we hear taught from any other book or what anybody else says. It's not just the book, the Bible, that we've studied and read and grew up on that really matters to us. It is that that word is personal. That we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just a book with words in it. The Bible is God's revelation to man. But it didn't stop there. All other religions stop right there at the book. And they argue and they get into all of these great discussions about, this is what the book says. You and I, in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't worry about what other people say or other religions say. We're solid in the Word. Why? Because you and I don't need the book, the Bible, sitting in front of us to have that personal relationship with Jesus. His words are in our heart. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in you. And God said, I'm going to give you a relationship with me. I'm going to adopt you into my very own family. We are the family of God. And it is through that love that God has for us that we have that relationship. And when people say, oh, you know that Jesus really did die. Oh, you might say, sure, he really did die. And you know he really rose again too, don't you? Don't you know that? But what the world doesn't understand is this. When you and I said yes to Jesus, we didn't understand the Word of God. Folks, I've studied the Word of God for over 40 years. Longer, if you count, in my kid era when I just pretended to. But think of it. You never will grasp the depth of God's love. And God puts up with us. Would you put up with yourself the way you've acted this past week? Would you? I don't even know what you've done this past week. But would you put up with yourself that long? If you were your child, you'd have called their hand on it. On just what you yourself have done. I wanted you to look tonight, or us to look together, at how much does God care about me. You see, it's not a relationship of rules and regulations. It's a relationship of love. You and I are commanded by our Creator to express what to the world? Love. Love how? Through Jesus. We have been commanded by God, His Holy Word, and given the power of His Holy Spirit to proclaim love, to proclaim strength. We are not to go out and tell everybody how we'll beat them over the head if they don't become a Christian and do all of this other stuff. Folks, the heart is won by love through Christ, not by knowledge and that great information that we think we have stored up here. We think we get pretty smart until we start getting older and we forget what smart means. Or, you know, we think we've got it all up here, and then as we get older, we thank God we don't have it all up here because we've locked it back there somewhere. Listen to the scripture tonight as we listen as individual love for you and me that God has. How much does God care about me? Look at Ephesians 3, 18, 19. May you be able to feel and understand. Now, what is that? Feel and understand. But understand what? You and I are wanting to know all the ins and outs. There are so many Christians are of heaven. Oh, tell us, open the reveal to us the book of Revelation. Well, Christian, duh. That's what the word revelation means, to unveil or to reveal. And God has revealed to us his love through his whole book called the Bible. But he says, I want you to be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high God's love really is. And to experience this love for yourselves. Nothing Jesus Christ ever did was for naught. There's nothing that Jesus did that did not accomplish its purpose. Jesus never just raised the dead just to be raising the dead. There was always a reason. And you and I are that reason. And you and I are the reason because of his love for you and his love for me. Jesus says, I love you. And we understand that love means that no matter what we do, it's the power of that love still going to be there. Number one, God cares enough to reveal himself to me. You see, there we go back to the books of religion. People are looking in the books of different religions to get a revelation of a God. Christians need to understand that God has revealed himself to us. We don't have to look. It is not us who are having to look. It is Jesus that created us and knew us before we were ever created. And it is Jesus that said, I will reveal myself to you. We don't even have a shot at the end of the age when the Lord comes and saying, well, Lord, I would have had believed in your son had Brother Larry told me. And then they hear the voice of God saying, no, I do not find you innocent because I have revealed myself to you. And you rejected me. Luke 2 verse 32. Jesus is the light to reveal God to the nations. Remember this morning, skin, how God comes in human skin. And as that human skin, then he reveals through Jesus. He reveals to all of those around him the picture of who God the Father is. And through that revelation to all the nations, you and I are supposed to be that human representation of God today through Jesus Christ, right? We agree with that. We are supposed to be God with skin. We're supposed to reveal Christ. We're supposed to see. Isn't everybody supposed to see Jesus in us? We sang it. Okay, listen to Colossians 1 verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You see, this is what the folks who were living back in Jesus' day had trouble with. Because Jesus spoke as no one else had ever spoke. And he says, I am God. I've never opened my mouth and said a word, anything that my Father did not tell me to say. Don't we wish we could say that? Don't we wish that just as soon as those words came out of our mouth that we could reach out there and grab them real quick before they hit the ears? Don't we wish that? And we can't. They're lost. You know, I always heard as a kid when they said everyone will account for every idle word, and I said, surely they're going to be forgotten. That was before I understood American politics or life itself. God looks to us and he says, I've sent Jesus for you to see me. Now listen to John 14:9. Jesus is speaking. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That was their problem. That was their problem. Jesus was saying, I am God. And they thought they had missed. They thought that if Jesus stands and he proclaims this, then all the people are going to start stoning us, because we're supposed to be the wise ones in religion. Well, they were. But they were not wise in their relationship with Christ. Christians have a special relationship. And in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we relate to one another as Christians through love. Or we're supposed to. How much does God care about me? Number two, God cares enough to rescue me from the guilt of my past. Hebrews 9:15. For Christ died to rescue us from the penalty of our sins. Now, I've heard again throughout my ministry and my life, I'm sure. Yes, you're saved from the penalty of your sin. You're saved from the guilt of sin. But you know you will suffer the consequences. If I am saved from something, how do I suffer the consequences? If I'm totally saved from it, does that not mean that I am saved from those consequences? Do we not focus in our mind and in our heart every time we think about the idea of the consequences of our past? And the more we think about it, does not Satan then get a hold of us to hold us back from what we will do tomorrow or today for him? Because we're worried, oh, you know, I could do this for you, Lord, but I'm still dealing with these consequences. The sin for the Christian is the punishment for the Christian. It is the hurt. It is the sorrow inside the heart. But folks, listen, when Jesus said, I paid it all, he did. Oh, will we see then problems that we had caused? Will we see those sins? Are they not with us day and night? Do we not observe them? That's not the point. The point is, does it control you? Do we not trust Jesus enough to know that even the consequences he is going to have grace with us on? He did it all. And he didn't do it part way. And God says, I love you. I'll take away the guilt from your past. If he died for the guilt of my sin, then how can I be guilty of the past? It is the focus, once again, of a relationship. If it's in the rule book, we're in a mess. In a relationship, we're in Jesus because of his love for us. Number three, God cares enough to rescue me from a meaningless life. You know, over the years, I truly believe that one of the most devastating sins tools that Satan uses on a Christian is this. Listen again. To rescue me from a meaningless life. How many times people have talked to me and I've listened to them say, life has no meaning for me. Life no longer since so-and-so left, life has no meaning. The meaning of life is still in the same one it should be as a Christian, Jesus. And that meaning in our life must be focused on who Christ is in us continually. Folks, my loved ones that have gone on and will go on before me and when I go on, it's just a short period of time till we all get together. And it is going to be greater than you could ever imagine that supper time, Bill. And it's all taken care of. I don't have time to worry about or fret about all of this foolishness, because there's people out here in the world that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, and you and I are the body of Christ, the church. We are Jesus with skin on, and we are to be out there going about His business. So, I came to give life, life in all its fullness. That's John 10:1. Jesus said, I came to give life, but I came to give life in all its fullness. I came for you to understand what true living is. This world is not true living. Now, I understand when I don't get too excited about seeing how things are going in our own nation and around the world. I understand the hurt and the pain that I feel. But I know for a fact that all of this that is going on means nothing. Nothing compared to the love that Jesus Christ has for me and you. Satan is a beaten foe. He's already been humiliated. Jesus is alive. That had a pretty good sting on him, don't you think? Death has no power or authority over the Christian. That's got to upset him. The grave has lost its sting. You know that bothers him. And you and I are as though we are already there in the arms of Christ, because you and I, when we live in the Spirit, we see the face of Jesus because He is Spirit. And He said, I'm in you. You don't have to look so far. Don't you still get a kick out? I remember when I started in the ministry. And something I never could understand was when people went out to find themselves. You remember in the days when people would just take off and they said, well, where did he go? Well, he went out to find himself. I don't think it was himself he was looking for, frankly. I think it was just to go off a whoring into the world, but think of it this way. Why do you need to go anywhere to find out who you are? My salvation is at hand right here. My salvation has already taken place. Yours has too, Christian. It's already taken place. You don't need to go find yourself. You just need to learn to live with Christ in you instead of focusing on living with yourself. Wouldn't you hate to be caught having to live with yourself for the rest of your life? Any of you have trouble with yourself ever so often? Gosh, you all are pitiful. Yeah. Well, I'll get along with myself just fine, Brother Larry. Go on. Keep talking. Think of it. Our relationship to self, if we see the hurt and pain in others, we can recognize it because of hurt and pain in our own life. But Jesus says, I love you. I care about you. Number four, God cares enough to rescue me from the fear of death. Now, how many times you hear me say this all the time, and I know it, and I will keep saying it as long as God gives me the words. You and I are born again, we shall never, ever die. You want the sad part of that? The individuals who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, they don't ever die either. In hell itself, they will lift up their eyes praying to die, but can never die. Always on the verge of death, but never to see death. Have you seen people so evil? No, you haven't. But there are people out there who are so evil. You'll question, as a minister of the gospel of Christ, how God could allow them to even exist, as how vile they are. And then as soon as you question, you've realized you've just sinned. It is not me who needs to question why God allows someone to be alive. My focus must be to share the truth, and maybe that most vile human being that exists will find Jesus, and when he accepts Jesus, think of all the lives that will be saved. Hebrews 2, verse 13. Jesus set free those who were slaves all their lives because of their fear of death. Don't you see? Listen to me. This is all past tense. Have you noticed? It's already done. Everybody said yes, but death, it is the last power that Satan holds over us. Satan doesn't hold that over me because I'll never die. Satan doesn't hold that over you. You and I are going to separate from this body, but we do not rest in a grave. We do not rest anywhere because we have the love of Jesus Christ in us, and it will be as though Jesus says, come on out of there, Larry. Let's go home. And we think that we will hurt so bad for those that we love down here that we won't want to go, but we will want to. And if offered an opportunity to come back, we would not take it, because then we see such love and grace, how great it is, that you and I will say to our loved ones, see you later. I'll meet you at supper. Romans 6, 23. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Free gift. That's why Jesus came. That's why he went in that last week. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Eternal life, does that not tell us something about never ending? Eternal living. There is no such thing as a break in eternity. It's just like saying, okay, when does forever stop? You know, we just can't seem to grasp it. There's no such thing as me not already being with Jesus, because it's eternal. My salvation is assured through him, not through me. Not through because I say, yes, Jesus, you are Lord. No, it's because I said, yes, Jesus, be my Lord. All creation knows he's Lord. Satan knows he's Lord. But it's always in who Jesus is, not in who I am or in who you are. It's always in the name. You think about it, you know, going straight on up to heaven, and this is another subject where we know that the angels, plural, carry us to be in the presence of God. Can't you picture us, I was going to say Randy with his cocky spirit, but I got a whole church full of them. Can't you picture us as we're traveling right on up, saying, you know, as we see the demons around and all of this, and we know that's so from Scripture, and we say, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. And we're flying straight on up. Folks, only people who know Jesus can sing that song. And for the first time, you and I will realize, you know, when God called me to preach, I had a dream all the time. And the dream had always been the same. Never understood it, thought it was foolish, but it's a lot better than nightmares from Vietnam. But the dream was this, that I was always in some kind of battle with, and did you ever notice the enemy's always got to be some kind of monster? They got to be ugly and vile coming at you. But I had the gift to be able to fly. And I get to stand there, I could see myself, and I was flopping my arms, but I could fly. And I would fly right over top, and it would always seem like the demons were trying to grab me, but they couldn't reach me. And I just kept flying. That wasn't a dream. That was a vision of God for you and me. That's the only hope Satan has, is if we're not flying away. But we are. We're already above the power of Satan. He cannot bring us down. He doesn't have that authority. I'm a child of a king, as you are, as a Christian. Number 5, God cares enough to relate to me. See, that's why you and I don't get shook up when people say, oh no, God's dead. Why? Because he relates to us personally. We know Jesus because we talk to him. We have a personal relationship. They can say all they want that, oh, you know, that's just a wild religion. It is not a religion when you see the God you're talking to in you. Corinthians, one of them, 5 verse 19. God was using Christ to restore his relationship with humanity. He didn't hold people's faults against them. He's the only one, right? He's the only one. He didn't hold people's faults against them. Listen to Romans 5:11. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. Did you notice that the name that always comes up is Jesus? It is Jesus is the power. He is our strength. He is our Savior. And he seems to be the only name that the world fears. You can't say Jesus. I really got a kick out of listening to him on the news the other day, focusing on they couldn't have an egg hunt because it represented Christianity. And the deal with the bunny rabbits. Couldn't have rabbits because that represented Christianity. Well, listen, folks, we couldn't be with each other then, because as a Christian, do we not represent Christianity? And do we not represent Jesus, or do they not know? Should we not be more open with our relationship with Christ than a rabbit and an egg? Romans 5, verse 11. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Just read that, didn't I? Philippians 4:19. God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Enough said. Well, you know, I have this problem. Well, you have it because you want it. And last is number 6. God cares enough to entrust to me the knowledge that he knows and loves me. See, that's why they can't trip us up. I know salvation. Not I'm guessing or not, oh, you're right, I probably broke a rule. I didn't read the rule book that closely. No. That's not the problem the world is having with Christianity. The problem the world has with Christianity. Look, if you will be quiet in the world and not use the name Jesus or God, they will welcome you and they will say, okay, we'll take you Christians in. But as soon as we Christians who are to proclaim Jesus open our mouth about him, then we are rejected and mocked. Oh, you truly believe in a God and a boogeyman? And when I listen to all of these great intellects of today talking to me or on the TV about the aliens and their spaceships, cutting all the stone and all of this for, anyway, when I listen to that and I think, how can you great, brilliant people believe in aliens just fine, but you have a trouble with Jesus? And you said there's no God, but you're sitting out there proclaiming throughout the world, oh yes, we believe there's life on other planets. Well, so do I. So does God. I just happen to believe that the life that is on the other planets was created by the same God who created the life on this one. But if you can believe in the little green men and you can't believe in the blood of Jesus, we're not the ones with the problem, folks. God cares enough to entrust to me the knowledge that he knows and loves me. 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21. Oh, Timothy, I like it, Paul, oh gosh, Paul loved him. You know, it was his son in Christ. Oh, Timothy, don't fail to do these things that God entrusted to you. Keep out of these foolish arguments with those who boast of their knowledge and thus prove their lack of it. Some people have missed the most important thing in life. You ready for it? They don't know God. May God's mercy be upon you. Paul was sending Timothy into the world of lions. And he said, don't be afraid, Timothy. And don't get into the foolish arguments. Preach the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you allow us to come and to worship. But Father, that we are allowed to celebrate along with all creation the greatest gift ever given, your Son. Thank you, Father, for your love and the peace that only you give us. Touch each of us now that we truly look to this week as the holiest of all. And a week, Father, that we truly will remember in all we do what you have done for us already. Thank you, Father, for placing your love and your truth in our heart. And until, Father, we meet face to face, give each of us the strength that we'll stand strong in the name of your Son, Jesus, proclaiming the truth of who you are. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.